The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
And it's great to have you with us today, live in Miami, after the first scene of the first demo, well, I guess you could call it a debate. We call it the Hammer and Sickle Show, all about how they can out-communist each other. Let me sum it up for you last night. Big winner, Elizabeth Warren, but there's a trap laid for her, and I'll explain that in a moment. Of the second-tier candidates, big breakout winner, Bill de Blasio, New York, written off for dead. He was a joke when he got into the race, but he had a very solid performance last night. And he's appealing to the most left-wing progressive elements of the party, no doubt. Big loser last night, Beto O'Rourke. He was a disaster. This guy is an empty suit clown show. He's going. The other bad news for the moderates, there are basically a couple of them in this race. It was a big loss for Joe Biden last night, and let me tell you why. Moderates have no place in this party. Amy Klobuchar, Minnesota, trying to find a pathway. She couldn't do it. She's out. An uninspiring performance last night. They're trying to out-progressive each other. A winner for some future office is John Delaney. I think he had an outstanding performance, but he's going nowhere because he's out of step with his party. And he's the congressman from Maryland. I've said that in my first segment. Delaney actually made sense. He made the most sense yesterday, but he's going nowhere, and it's sad because the Democratic Party has moved so where left. That's why the other big loser is Joe Biden, because I don't know what Biden's going to do tomorrow. But you look at this crowd that was at that debate last night and how far left the Democratic Party has moved. I mean, it is what I'm calling hashtag the Hammer and Sickle Show. I mean, this is like Communist Manifesto three times over. They want to eliminate health insurance. There was a trap laid. A big trap laid last night for Beth Warren. I'm going to tell you about that in a moment. We're live here in Miami. If you want to weigh in, 888-480-JOHN, 888-480-5646. The other big winner last night, Donald Trump. I mean, the more these debates go on and the more you see how far left the Democratic Party is moving, the better it is for the president. It is really making the president look moderate. And what they were debating last night was how to open the borders. I mean, when it came to the Elizabeth Warren open borders question, not a single Democrat had the guts, including Delaney, to push back on it. Not one. And say, what are you talking about? I mean, we'll have no country. Not one of them. They're petrified of this base that wants to transform the country. And why the Democrats want to do this is very simple. They've lost middle-class voters in the Midwest. They know they've lost them. So the only way that they can win is to replace them. So they want open borders to simply replace the voters they've lost. That is the reality. And Republicans have done nothing to stop it. I mean, Trump had both houses for 2 years. They passed no legislation to confront any of this stuff with the border because it's part of the unholy alliance, the Republicans are controlled by big donors. And in that part, when Elizabeth Warren talks about, here's the biggest gains that she gets. When she talks about monopolies, big corporations, profiteering, breaking them up, they're corrupt. Health companies are corrupt. That's where she gains traction. Because a lot of that, quite frankly, and I'm a capitalist, as you know, we all are probably, most people in the United States are. But that's why we have antitrust laws. And when she says that, a lot of people say, you know, maybe she's right, especially when you look at the tech giants and how basically Google and Facebook are controlling the entire media outlet today because they're sucking up all the advertising dollars, which is the other thing that people don't realize. All the people who keep saying journalism is dying, now all these digital journalist companies are laying reporters off, they can't make any money. So he goes, look. To be effective in journalism, you've got to sell advertising. I mean, it's laughable to me when people say, oh, you know, he's doing that or this person because, you know, they're responding to advertisers. Without advertisers, there's no journalism. I mean, you go back to the earliest free newspapers in the United States. You open them up, they had ads in them. How do you think they got funded? Somebody has to pay for this. Who pays for it? Advertisers trying to get their message out to the readers, viewers, or listeners of those that are in the media. So when the advertising dries up, there is no free media. Unless you want to turn the U.S. into the BBC. There's no free media. Without advertising, to support it, somebody's got to pay the journalist. The money doesn't just come from the sky, from heaven. It comes from advertisers and sponsors. And once that money dries up, they don't have the funding to go forward in any viable way. So when you look at, and I'm off on a tangent here, but when you look at why is now digital media, remember digital journalism was supposed to be the new future? And I said 10 years ago it would fail because nobody has a business model where it makes any money. Not one. There's not a single site out there that can employ a bunch of journalists. Now, they can repurpose stuff, and you can have maybe an editor running around. But you can't have 10 journalists doing investigating reporting and make money under the model right now of digital advertising because all the money is sucked up by Facebook and Google. So you have a limited pot of money available. You can't make enough money off clicks and whatever. And if you try to go that route, then you start putting out garbage to drive clicks to get the ad dollars. Bad model. It will fail. Sidebar. So when Warren talks about that, she gains. When she talks about breaking up big companies, Wall Street, gangster banksters, she gains. But here was a trap laid. Here was a trap laid yesterday for Warren, and it was laid by de Blasio unmistakably and then by John Delaney. Now, the trap that was laid is that, let me see if I have this clip here. I'm not sure I have the clip, but let's see. Nope, don't have it. Oh, yes. Let's go to cut 8, Kara. This is Warren saying that I'm with Bernie on Medicare for All. Let's go to cut 8. Bernie saying that she's with Medicare for All, which means she would also was only one of two candidates who put their hands up who said she would eliminate private insurance. She would make it illegal. Cut 8, Warren.
They don't own me.
Your time is up. Thank you. Senator Warren, you signed on to Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All plan. It would put essentially everybody on Medicare and then eliminate private plans that offer similar coverage. Is that the plan or path that you would pursue as president?
So, yes, I'm with Bernie on Medicare for All. And let me tell you why. I've spent a big chunk of my life studying why families go broke. And one of the number one reasons is the cost of health care, medical bills. And that's not just for people who don't have insurance. It's for people who have insurance. Look at the business model of an insurance company. It's to bring in as many dollars as they can in premiums and to pay out as few dollars as possible for your health care. That leaves families with rising premiums, rising co-pays, and fighting with insurance companies to try to get the health care that their doctors say that they and their children need. Medicare for All solves that problem. And I understand there are a lot of politicians who say, oh, it's just not possible, we just can't do it, it's have a lot of political reasons for this. What they're really telling you is they just won't fight for it. Well, health care is a basic human right, and I will fight for basic human rights.
Congressman O'Rourke, when you ran.
Okay, so why she was effective last night is she said she's going to fight for things that the Democrats haven't done in the past because they were a little more timid about it. But I'm not sure if we have the clip here, so I'm just going to go forward with it. But here's what Delaney said yesterday. He said, you know, it's interesting. He said, I'm not in favor of this because 225 million people in America, half of America has private health insurance that they're happy with. So why on earth would you want to take that away? And he talked about his father, who was an electrician. But here's what he said. He said, it's 3 minutes. No, we're not going to do that. Okay, so what he said last night is, he said, look, Here's the problem. He said, not only is it bad to take something away that people have that they like, but it's bad policy. He said, I went and asked 100 hospital administrators across America, what would happen if we went to Medicaid for all? Now, remember, when hospitals take payment for Medicaid, that is negotiated way down under what private health insurance pays for services. So under the Medicaid for all plan that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and de Blasio have signed off on, and Kamala Harris and others, the hospitals would be paid under the current Medicare allocation. He said 100 hospital administrators across the country told me their hospital would go out of business. So he said, you're promoting a plan that would shut down every hospital in the United States, and nobody's brought that up. Now, it kind of got sidekicked yesterday because none of the people on that stage really want to deal with that. What they want to deal with is the red meat, Medicaid for all, and everybody claps, right? But here's what it reminds me of. New York debate, Democratic debate, 1998, Al Gore on life support. He had won a bunch of Southern primaries. He was in the hunt with Dukakis. The Democratic primaries moved to the Northeast, which is normally when you get to New York and New Jersey and Delaware, the defining moment where anybody that's hanging on is out. The front runners always win that. So in the debate in New York for the New York Democratic primary, Al Gore criticizes Dukakis for a weekend furlough program. Remember that? Weekend furloughs for hardened criminals, like you get out and somehow because you get out for a weekend, you're going to reform or something. Basically, he criticized them and wanted an explanation, and Dukakis admitted that it was not one of the best ideas he ever had, and it didn't work. And they kind of moved on, and Dukakis won the primary easily. Al Gore dropped out, and everybody thought that was the end of it until they got to the general election. And somebody in the Bush campaign remembered that debate, and they started looking up the weekend furlough program, which got you Willie Horton, which got you George Bush erasing a 17-point Mike Dukakis lead and winning in 1988. So this is a trap that's set for Warren that Delaney set last night, and of course nobody will pick up on it except me. So there you have it. Let's get to some of these other clips here before I tell you what, let's get to a word from our sponsors and then a couple more clips when I get back, and then we'll got others at the 7 o'clock hour. And then I got a big lineup after that with Republican operatives coming on from the Trump campaign to give their reaction. And red meat will be flying around starting at 7:30. That's when the partisan fireworks start. Right now, I'm just giving you my raw analysis. John Fredericks, Radio Network. Stay with us.
Hi, folks. It's John Fredericks. 50% of Dominion Energy's 2018 energy production was from non-carbon sources. In the last 5 years, Dominion Energy has invested more than $3.5 billion on clean energy sources, and the company is planning to add enough new wind and solar to power 750,000 homes in Virginia by 2022. Learn more by visiting DominionEnergy.com.
Hi folks, John Fredericks here. By now you've heard the great news. Live horse racing will return to Virginia this August, but you don't have to wait to have fun. Rosie's Gaming Emporium at Colonial Downs in New Kent features 600 state-of-the-art historical horse racing games that look, spin, and play just like the games you know and love. What's more, you can watch and wager on horse racing across the country 7 days a week. Find out more about Rosie's Gaming Emporium at Colonial Downs in New Kent at rosiesgaming.com.
Rosie's Gaming at Colonial Downs, open for fun. Click rosiesgaming.com.
President Ronald Reagan once said that a seat in Congress was one of the most secure jobs in America. And that's all because of partisan gerrymandering, the practice of politicians rigging their own district lines to benefit themselves. And for years, politicians have picked their voters when it should be the other way around. But earlier this year, Virginia lawmakers took the first step in reforming the way we draw our district lines by voting to create Virginia's first ever redistricting commission. This commission will include citizens, and all of its work will be done in full public view. No more backroom deals. But in order for this amendment to be added to Virginia's Constitution, the General Assembly needs to pass the same provision again in 2020. That's where you come in. Tell your lawmaker to end political gerrymandering in Virginia once and for all by visiting reformvirginia.org. That's reformvirginia.org. Paid for by One Virginia 2021.
He's your Godzilla of the truth in America.
Run! It's Godzilla!
No gibberish or nonsense, just common sense. And now back to the John Frederick Show.
I don't want to get to Mayor de Blasio yesterday, who did really good. I mean, I thought of the second-tier candidates, he's the only one that had a breakout moment. One person I was very disappointed in was Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, I thought when she announced, she might get some traction on the war. And she's kind of an attractive candidate in that, you know, she's a really good speaker, but she was not at her best last night and really kind of struggled for space in that debate. And she's going nowhere, along with Amy Klobuchar and some of the other jokers up there like Jay Inslee and Cory Booker. I mean, these people are going nowhere. But let's get to de Blasio, who was came out of his, like, wonky shell. And he is determined to be the most left-wing communist candidate of anybody in the 25 that are running. Cut one, saying that there's plenty of money in this world. It's just in the wrong hands. Give it to us. Cut one.
More.
Mayor de Blasio, good evening. You're the mayor of the biggest city in the United States, but it's also one of the cities in the country with the greatest gap between the wealthy and the poor. How would you address income inequality?
Well, we've been addressing income inequality in New York City by raising wages, by raising benefits, by putting money back in the hands of working people. $15 minimum wage, paid sick days, pre-K for all, things that are making a huge difference in working people's lives. But let me tell you what we're hearing here already in the first round of questions is that battle for the heart and soul of our party. I want to make it clear. This is supposed to be the party of working people. Yes, we're supposed to be for a 70% tax rate on the wealthy. Yes, we're supposed to be for free college, free public college for our young people. We are supposed to break up big corporations when they're not serving our democracy. This Democratic Party has to be strong and bold and progressive. And in New York, we've proven that we can do something very different. We can put money back in the hands of working people. And let me tell you, every time you talk about investing in people and their communities, you hear folks say there's not enough money. What I say to them every single time is there's plenty of money in this world. There's plenty of money in this country. It's just in the wrong hands. We Democrats have to fix that.
Congressman Delaney, do you agree?
About the applause he got, and basically that's a communist manifesto, right? Take from those that have and give it to those who don't. I mean, that's just confiscation of property and money, the anti-capitalist view, which is that everything should be equal, regardless of what you did, what your status is, how hard you worked. Just take money from them and give it to me. I mean, that is Karl Marx. And that was doubled down by this imbecile governor. This guy was a disaster. And he's a scary-looking dude. This guy Inslee from Washington, he's a scary-looking dude. And I don't know how this guy got elected governor, but he's like, every time he talked, I like got the EBGBs. This is Inslee, Governor Inslee from Washington State, saying the CEO of McDonald's makes 2,100 times more than the people slinging hash at McDonald's. Well, of course he does. I mean, those are entry-level jobs. I mean, this is another communist imbecilic statement by this guy who's a complete crackpot. Cut three.
Country is competitive, and we're creating jobs everywhere in this country.
Governor Inslee, how would you address income inequality?
Well, I'm a little bit surprised. I think plans are great, but I'm a governor, and we got to realize the people who brought us the weekend, unions, need are going to bring us a long overdue raise in America. And I'm proud of standing up for unions. I've got a plan to reinvigorate collective bargaining so we can increase wages finally. I marched with the SEIU folks. It is not right that the CEO of McDonald's makes 2,100 times more than the people slinging hash at McDonald's. And the next thing I'll do is put people to work in the jobs of the present and the future. Look it, Donald Trump is simply wrong. He says wind turbines cause cancer. We know they cause jobs, and we know that we can put millions of people to work in the clean energy jobs of the future. Carpenters, IBEW's members, machinists, we're doing it in my state today, and then we can do what America always does, lead the world and invent the future and put people at work. That's what we're going to do.
Congressman Ryan, President Trump, and you just referred to him, promised that many...
The guy's a complete moron. This is the best economy in the history of America. Like, we have zero unemployment. except for the people that are changing jobs. We have more jobs available than people that are that want them. And he's talking about he's going to create millions of jobs through what? Wind turbines. This guy was a complete clown last night. So he would get my clown award, Jay Inslee. John Fredericks, Radio Network, Live Miami, Trucking the Truth Across America. We got a great lineup for you today. And you want to stay with us. We're getting to the partisan stuff. I know you're grinding your teeth because you really want the blast machine to come out. Mark Lauder, 735, RNC, with the Trump campaign. Rick Gorka, RNC Director, Regional Communications. Then Curtis Ellis, Tim Murtaugh, Trump 2020 Communications Director. All right here, John Fredericks Radio Network. Stay with us. Let's go to Big Mac from Richmond. Big Mac, you're on the line.
Hey, Jay Frank, good morning, man. Hey, look, at first I was so excited last night to read that Mueller was going to testify in July. Hey, but you know what? Then I thought about it for a minute. Man, that is a setup. The Mueller and his people, they're going to get with the Democrats behind the scenes. They're going to pre-work the questions on that side of the aisle. And then every time some like a monster like Jim Jordan or Devin Nunes ask a question, maybe even Mark Meadows, they're going to pull that Kavanaugh hearing garbage and they're going to interrupt them. They're going to do what they can to, now that those questions come out, or save Mueller from having to answer those true and honest questions. The whole thing's going to be a setup, buddy. Mark my word.
I agree with you. Look, Robert Mueller had one objective when he got in this job, and that was to take down President Trump and the Trump administration and get him out. And he failed at it because he couldn't find the evidence after he spent 2 years, $35 million, 500 witnesses, 600 subpoenas, and whatever else he did. He found no evidence. So now he's got to go whining and sniveling and go testify. Now, we'll see if he's even honest. We'll see if he's even honest, Big Mac, because remember at the press conference he said, any question you ask me, I'm going to simply answer it by reading you the transcript that it's the 449 pages. We'll see if he's honest about that or if this is going to be another sideshow. But eventually this is going to run out. The Democrats have nothing to offer. They passed a $4.5 billion bill last night to aid the migrants at the border, setting up a showdown with McConnell and the Senate Republicans. And also the White House has said they're going to veto it because they don't like the bill. It's not what they asked for. So they can't even pass a simple bill to help anything going on at the border, but now we're going to have this sideshow. But you're right, and thank you.
Hey, Jay, Fred, hey, one more thing, if I may, real quick. Another
yes.
thing that really concerned me was a federal agency talking about the resignation of Kellyanne Conway because of the Hatch Act. The biggest violations of the Hatch Act of all time were Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. You're not even supposed to discuss politics while you're on the clock, let alone
exactly.
text on a federal phone. And
exactly.
then talk about bringing down the president.
I mean, it's the absurdity of what is going on in Washington is something else. That's why you get out, and I'm going to spend the week in Florida. You talk to real people. We're in South Florida. I mean, they have a very different perspective than the nonsense that goes on in the swamp in D.C. while we're there all week. But you're right. I mean, you got Peter Strzok and Lisa Page trying to take a president down on a taxpayer-funded cell phone as members of the FBI instead of doing their job. Nothing happens to them. There's no Hatch Act there. Kellyanne Conway comes on the lawn and talks about the president's reelection campaign in a gaggle, and they want to fire her. What a bunch of asininities. Don't you agree?
Hey, Jay Fred, I could be wrong, but didn't they just ask her a question? Didn't she just answer a question that was shot at her by the press?
Yeah, I mean, that's all she does is answer questions.
That's great.
All right, man.
All
Thank
right,
you.
Jay Fred, it's a pleasure, man. I got to watch the traffic. Have a great day, brother.
All right, Big Mac, always good to have you on here on the John Frederick Show. Corey Lewandowski.
Your listeners are going to be so fortunate for the caliber of guests that you get. I put you right there with the luminaries now in the radio world because of the quality of your show, the relationships you have, your ability to go to the White House and have direct conversations that no other radio show host in the country gets.
Stay connected online and take them wherever you go to get the free John Frederick Show.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. Going where no sitting U.S. president has gone before, President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un met at the heavily fortified demilitarized zone earlier today. Both men agreed to revive nuclear talks. A town official says 10 people were killed when a small twin-engine plane crashed into a hangar during takeoff at a Dallas-area airport. Addison spokeswoman Mary Rosenblief says no one survived the Sunday morning crash at the Addison Municipal Airport. The Federal Aviation Administration says that a Beechcraft BE-350 King Air was destroyed in the fiery crash after it struck an unoccupied hangar soon after 9 a.m. Facebook says it plans to make advertisements for U.S. jobs and credit products searchable for all users. The databases expand on a legal settlement reached in March. More details at srnnews.com.
Maybe you'd like to know what exactly Relief Factor is. It was created by doctors. It's a 100% drug-free supplement with four key ingredients that simply help your own body deal with the natural inflammatory response that it has. It's easy to swallow, four little capsules in each packet, like the packet that I carry with me at all times. Three packets a day for a week, then two packets a day for 2 weeks, and I have just described the three-week quick start. And you will know in 3 weeks, that's the beauty of it, whether it works. They don't drag you on. That costs just $19.95. There's a very good chance that a very serious percentage of my listeners suffer from some sort of muscular or joint pain. You should try this for $19.95. That's all you can lose. If it works, they will send it to you automatically. If it doesn't work, tell them not to send any shipments. And it's as simple as that. It is all at ReliefFactor.com. I've been using it for years now. Relief Factor.
Hi, I'm Kim. And my drinking problem started when I was 13 years old. I started drinking to escape the sexual abuse I had experienced. I don't feel like I had anyone there for me. I spent some 30-odd years struggling with alcoholism before coming to City Rescue Mission for the first time. I feel like I have people who truly care about me, truly listen to the heartaches, and love you back to help. I grew in my faith. God is teaching me how to feel and how to love. To anyone out there struggling, it's never too late to get help.
I'm Penny Kivett, Executive Director for the City Rescue Mission. The summer months here in Jacksonville are especially brutal for our homeless neighbors and friends struggling on the streets. Would you consider helping us transform lives? Visit us at crmjax.org to learn more or make a donation to help others who are hungry, homeless, and addicted.
Homeowners, in today's world, no neighborhood is immune from burglaries. Get a state-of-the-art monitored home security system for Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, and get peace of mind today. Call right now, 1-888-213-2244, 1-888-213-2244. Local permit fees may be required. License number CAACO6320, KY City of Louisville 483, and FLEC13003427. Call for additional numbers. Call now, 1-888-213-2244.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio
on. Turn your radio on.
Have you heard? The Ted and Sandy Gospel Program can be heard every Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. on WBOB. Ted and Sandy guarantee to play you some of the best in Southern Gospel, Bluegrass Gospel, and Country Gospel available. They'll give you words of encouragement in your daily life, announce gospel sings, and church events in our area, and much more. Tune in every Sunday morning at 7, right here on WBOB.
They don't call him the commander of common sense for nothing.
I'm not a wholly owned subsidiary of the Republican National Committee, the Democrat National Committee, any campaign or anybody else. So I'm going to call it like I see it.
Guess who got out of the wrong side of the bed this morning?
Make sure to get your big boy pants on. No crybaby diapers.
There's no crying in baseball.
Here on the John Frederick Show.
Joining us now, Dr. Duane Hennen. He is a Republican. You can follow him on Twitter, at Dr. D. Hennen, and he's running for Congress in Ohio's 13th District against Tim Ryan, who's running for president, who didn't make any of the debates. But he's also the guy that challenged Fancy Nancy Pelosi a couple years back to no avail. Dr. Hennen with us now. Good to have you with us, Doc.
Yeah, thank you very much, John.
But good to be with you.
So I love the fact that you're running for Congress in Tim Ryan's district, although it's an uphill battle. You got to keep him honest. And I remember Michelle Bachmann. I was telling the story the other day. Michelle Bachmann ran for president in 2012. And I backed her campaign early before Newt got in. Soon as Newt got in, I went with him. But she ran for president, and she spent months running around Iowa, New Hampshire, neglecting her district. She was never there. And that was a very Republican district. She had a Democratic challenger that year for Congress, a liberal, that came within 150 votes of beating her, and then she retired because she didn't want to go through that again. So there is a risk here for Tim Ryan when you're a congressman with zero chance of being the nominee and you're never in the district and you're not paying attention to your constituents. There is a backlash. Could you possibly take advantage of that, Dwayne?
I think we can. I think the thing with Tim Ryan, you know, the Vindicator, one of our local papers out of Youngstown, pointed this out a few weeks back, and I think I tweeted it out, was the fact that he's missed a third of the votes. I mean, really, he's not here for the district, whether he's running for president or not. So it's not a big change. We don't really see him around here. When he is in the district, he'll maybe throw a party or something for his friends, but that's about it. So, I mean, that's one of the biggest complaints of people here, everyone I talk to, is that he just does nothing for them. So, I think we can take advantage of it, but I think we're just pointing out the facts of everyday life here that, hey, he's just not in the district. He really just doesn't care.
What is it, Dwayne, that inspired you to run for Congress, especially in this uphill battle?
I've been watching this, and it's like really in 16 it got a little closer. In 18 it got a lot closer with Chris DiPizzo. He got like 39.1% of the vote. So it's still, good ways to go. But I think right now, I mean, there is a huge Trump factor in all this. And I've been watching with some of the biggest things, with some of the things Tim was saying, like with the abortion issues, just kind of put me over the top. I'm a former pastor, and I just said, you know what, enough's enough. Someone's got to stand up and fight this. Because, if it was his way, we'd be the same way. Like as New York, right here in Ohio, and New York, Ohio is like totally different than New York. Right. We did pass that heartbeat bill, so I think it resonates with the people. Kim is a quote unquote Catholic person, and he just doesn't seem to follow any of the what he used to stand up for. He used to be pro life, he used to be pro NRA. Now he is just against both of them. So I think and those are two big issues here in our district. People are definitely, for the Second Amendment. They're for their personal rights. And most people, on average, do not go the extremes of abortion like they pushed it nowadays.
All right. If you want more information, you can go to the website, Hennen, the number 4, Ohio2020.com, HennenForOhio.com. Now, this district, District 13 in Ohio, give our national audience here, Dwayne, a sense of what the boundaries are, where it is, and is a district Democrat plus 8 plus 10, how much?
We cover quite a wide area. We've got the Youngstown Warren area. We go down a little bit into Stark County, which would be like the Alliance, Ohio area. We go over into Akron. Akron is probably about 30% of our vote. And then we go up to like Cuyahoga Falls in Portage County. This has traditionally been pretty much a Democrat area for quite a few years, actually a couple decades with Tim Ryan by himself. The thing that we've seen, though, is like, with Tim Ryan, ever since he's got in, and even slightly before that, Jim Trafficant was in, and it was just a steady decline. We had a decline in jobs. We have a decline in population. The only thing that's been on the rise is the drug addiction. So, I mean, that's one of the issues that we have to fight for here in Ohio is the drug addiction, the opioid crisis. But we also got to get some employers back in the area. GM's pulled out, Delphi pulled out, and that's all been under Tim. And Tim wants to kind of point the finger at Trump and say, hey, Trump's done all this. Well, it's been going on for years. We've watched it here go on for years. And it wasn't Trump. Everything, you look at the numbers across the United States, everything Trump's done's worked. The only places that it doesn't work is places like this where you got someone that's trying to fight it from working. another thing we really got to do in Ohio, and this is going to be Ohio having to do it for themselves, is we need to become a right to work state. Every state that's not just seems like it just doesn't work. And I think that's where we're falling apart. Employers don't want to come here because of that. So I think we've got some issues here in the state that we need to take care of. But we also got to have someone that's going to support our president. You know, if we're going to go in, and not support our president, how much are we going to accomplish in our area? And that's in our primary, I'm going up against another guy that's an anti-Trumper. So, in the Republican Party, he actually ran as Democrat before. He's now Republican, trying to, I guess, play a Republican. So I've got to, go through that battle first. But, ultimately it'll be Tim Ryan. So, we're kind of focusing on both at the same time right now.
Well, look, there's a lot of fake people out there running for Congress that were never Trumpers, and now they want to put they want to put on the cloak. In 2016, if you look at your district, what did Tim Ryan win by? Like, what was his percentage, assuming that he had opposition?
Yeah, I think in 2016, let me think back then, I don't have the papers in front of me, but I know it was, I believe he had... I think if the Republican that ran at that time had like about 27%, I believe. So Tim Ryan won by a huge margin. Chris DePizzo brought it up where he was like 39%. I think we can go further than that. I think we can actually knock it over the top this time. There's a lot of Democrats coming into the offices wanting to register as Republicans to get into the game. A lot of Democrats are just getting unsatisfied. They're unsatisfied just like the rest of us. Right. You do have some Democrats that, hey, they're just going to vote Democrat no matter what you do. Doesn't matter who the candidate is. They're not looking at the candidate's issues. They're saying, hey, we're Democrat. We're voting Democrat. So, that's the battle you always have. And that's one you just got to take. Hey, there's a certain percentage I'm just not going to get. But I think we stand a pretty good chance this time. I mean, it's just the issues are changing. In our uphill battle, well, right now you got someone that used to be a lot of people kind of consider Tim Ryan conservative a little bit when he first started. Now he is not. He's just totally changed course, and he's just right up there with Pelosi, right up there with Chuck Schumer, and just obstructing Trump and everything he does. And that doesn't resonate well with people. When they see, hey, we could be doing better, and we're not because of this, it just doesn't suit well, for the average person in our district.
We're with Dwayne Head, and he's running for Congress in Ohio's 13th district. That's represented right now by Tim Ryan, who's running for president. It is a solidly Democratic district right now, but it's important we get strong Trump candidates on the ballot to drive Trump turnout in the 3rd district to win Ohio. So Dwayne Hennon, one of those disruptors that we're having on in our disruptor segment. Dwayne, I've got a caller from Virginia that knows a little bit about your district and about Adelphi, because he's the head of the Adelphi Pension Fund. I've got Den Black on the line from Chesapeake, Virginia. Den, you're on the line with GOP congressional candidate Dwayne Hennon.
Yes, Dwayne, it's a pleasure to hear that you're going to go after the big dog out there, Mr. Timmy Ryan. And as John mentioned, I'm the chairperson of the Delphi Salaried Retirees Association, and I'm quite sure you must be aware that there's several thousands of Delphi people that would be likely to be voting for you because of the pension theft that we've endured out there in the Youngstown, Warren, Ohio district. Do you have contacts with those people? Well, I have them all, and we certainly would be pleased to provide you with that group of people so that you can be sure who's in that potential voting block for you.
I do have contact with a lot of them. I probably don't have the whole list, so yeah, if you could get me the list, I would contact each one of them personally. My dad worked at Delphi, so he actually got out before it was too late, so to speak. So I mean, he actually retired, still has his pension and whatnot. Things have been cut over the years a little bit, but
you mean he got out when it was still General Motors?
Yes, correct. It was like I think he was the last one, last group that got out when he was still under GM. So that kind of saved him a little bit.
1999, yeah. That was okay, yeah. When Delphi was created, and what a ride it's been. But it really went downhill, as you know. Then Dwayne, once the Auto Task Force got involved. And needlessly, and I will not mince words, stole the earned Delphi salary pensions. And we're coming down the home stretch on the litigation of that as we speak. But I will stay in touch with you and also provide you with a contact list of literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people in your district that you need to stay in contact with. And believe me, I know Mr. Tim Ryan very well. And early on, he was out there as a politician advocating on our behalf. But you know what? He's forgotten about us a long time ago.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And that's what he does. I mean, he's there for the photo ops. And that, you know, if it looks like something's good, he'll be there. When it gets bad, he just seems to stay away and just not really want to get in the game and fight. And unfortunately, we need, nowadays especially, we need politicians that are going to stand up and fight for the people, not fight for themselves, not worry about, he just was tweeting out about some Planned Parenthood last night, and he's more worried about the campaign contributions than anything. And if it's, hey, someone that's not going to be given, you know what, those Delphi people that lost their pensions, they really can't give to them right now because they can't afford to.
You got that right. It's all about Timmy when it comes to Timmy, though. I can tell you that for sure, as you well know. It's all about Timmy.
Absolutely.
Timmy first, not America first. Not America first.
Oh, you bet.
Timmy first.
We need all the politicians to be America first, and there's far too many that aren't, far too many who are just in there for the political game, just in there for a political career. And I'm not looking for a political career. I'm not looking to come in and take over Tim's position and stay there for the next 30 years because I don't want that for 30 years. but, you know, we need some change in America, and it starts by getting some of these older people out that are, have been in there for, you know, decades now and take over and just, get the hand, the power back into the people and get some things changed that need change. Get people that are actually going to work with Trump because, you know what, in 2020, whether Democrats like to hear this or not, whether Tim likes to hear it or not, Trump will win. And we're going to take the House back, and we're going to keep the Senate, and that's what we need. We need to get this stuff straightened out, and we need to get even on the Republican side, we need to get those out that are just doing the same thing as the Democrats, sitting on their hands and getting nothing accomplished.
Well, as familiar as I am with Northeast Ohio, and as you know, Northeast Ohio goes for Trump, then Ohio will go for Trump in 2020, absolutely positively, as it did in 2016. So I'm all there for you, and we'll keep in touch, and I'll send you the information so you can reach out to the people who will certainly want to go to the polls and help you out.
Only on the John Frederick Show, Dwayne, can you come on and find somebody that's lived in your area that's got hundreds of contacts to help you. That's why we have this segment, the Disruptor segment. I want to thank you for that. For more information, HennenForOhio2020.com, H-E-N-N-E-N, the number 4Ohio2020.com here on the John Frederick Show. Thank you, Den, for calling in. I also want to say, Dwayne, that Chris Saxman, another one of our listeners, also a host on one of my radio stations, WJFN 100.5 FM, says that pensions are a huge liability. Saxman also says that your district is D plus 7. He looked it up. So my callers actually do my research. So thank you, Saxman. So he says it's D plus 7, and he says it's winnable. So he's saying that you're in a winnable district, Dwayne.
I would agree with that. I mean, you know, there's four districts in Ohio that are kind of tough, and I'm probably the number four, and the number four is probably the most winnable of ones that are held by the Democrats right now, and I think it's definitely winnable. Tim Ryan's been losing a foothold over the last several elections, and people are just getting fed up because, you know, if you don't do something and you're starting to lose a foothold, you better start doing something, and he's just not doing it. He's out there just campaigning, and I think, honestly, his goal is either to try to get in, hey, if one of the Democrats were to win, which they won't, is to get in as, like, you know, whether on a, as a vice president or as a cabinet position, or else setting himself up where he can run for governor here in Ohio, which I don't think he'd win even as governor in Ohio. He just doesn't have a record of really accomplishing anything at all. I mean, I always ask this to anyone that is for him. Well, can you tell me what he's done for our area? Can you tell me what he's done for you personally? And I've yet to hear anyone come up with anything. Other than someone said, well, he got a post office renamed. Okay. Well, that's not a lot for the community. You know, that's not a lot for, you know, our area to bring jobs in or to help with the opioid addictions or, you know, anything like that. He's just not accomplishing anything.
Well, it's going to be a very interesting campaign. First thing you got to do is you've got to be the nominee. When is your nomination?
We are in March 3rd of 2020, and I am, like I said, I'm going up against another guy that's he calls himself a liberal Republican, and I have a hard time wrapping my head around that one because to me, a Republican is anything but liberal. So, you know, it's just, I always say I'm a conservative Republican. So, you know, it's when you come out and you say, and you're actually campaigning that you're a liberal Republican, it means you're hoping you get the Republican ticket and you can swing a lot of the Democrats over so you could win the election. But it doesn't mean you're standing for anything good. So, you know, and I've yet to hear anyone on the Republican side. We were both actually at a Trump birthday party on Saturday. And everyone kept coming up to me, well, why is he here? He's not even a Trump supporter. He hates Trump. And, you know, I didn't get it either, but it is what it is. And we'll face off on March 3rd. And I plan on getting the nomination on March 3rd, you know, and going up against Tim Ryan. That's all the right goal. That's what we're going to kind of focus on right now. And that's what we're going to accomplish. You know, I've been asked, you know, well, why are you getting in the race? You know, what do you think you can win? Well, it's not that I think I can win. I know I can win. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in this. I don't like getting into anything, whether it's business or whatever, unless I know I can win. You know, so you got to look and do the research and say, hey, can we win? And then get to the point that you say, yes, I can win, and just do it.
All right. Tim, I'm sorry, Dwayne Hennen, running for Congress, Ohio's 13th district against Tim Ryan. More information, go to HennenForOhio2020.com. Hey, Dwayne, great to have you with us. Good luck. Stay in touch.
All right. Thank you, John.
John Fredericks Radio Network. That is our Disruptor segment. Meantime, the House GOP wetting their pants once again. Republicans are growing, we understand, according to The Hill, pessimistic about recapturing the House majority next year, and they're pee-peeing down their leg. The typical RNC, Republican, weasels, do-nothing, stand-for-nothing, Goldman Sachs, gangster-bankster, donor bunch are leaking themselves because they're very afraid because Trump's approval ratings in key states might hurt them from taking back the House. Well, they lost the House in 2018 because they didn't stand for anything, and they ran away from the tax cut like the bunch of cowards they are. Now they're afraid, ooh, Trump's approval ratings in these states aren't good, and we may not have power again, and Majority Leader McCarthy, he might not have that nice Speaker's office, and we might not have the power to get more money and get our stuff, and because we're not going to do anything, we don't have repeal and replace, we've not done anything in 50 years except start wars, but we're wetting our pants now because of leaked poll numbers. And you know what? Get over yourself. Get over yourself, all of you Republicans out there. Oh, Trump's approval ratings are not good in these battleground states where we have to win all these seats. Get a life and fight. Has this administration taught you nothing? Fight. What do you believe in? Anything? And don't be telling me about liberty. Let's fight for liberty and get the libertarians in, like Justin Amash. No, fight for the economy. Fight to get out of these wars. Fight for something. Oh, I'd rather wet my pants. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This old Republican Party, compared to the Trump movement, is like so ridiculous now. I mean, you watch these people in action, And it's the stark difference is so immense. It's just immense, and they can't even hide now. And all they do is snivel and whine. They lost 2018. One of the reasons they lost it because they ran away from Trump's tax cut. They were all afraid of it. Oh, because CNN is saying that it's bad. It's only for the rich people, and I don't want to really talk about the tax cut. So I'll talk about nonsense like I've been talking about for 40 years. If we only had George W. Bush back, and then we could get into wars and say, you know, you got to be patriotic, and have Sean Hannity say, oh, you're a good patriotic American. Those were the good old days. Unbelievable. I have no sympathy for these people whatsoever. We took the party over, and it's going to take a while to get all new blood in there. If we can get good candidates in these Trump districts, look, they only need 20 seats, and 31 Democrats got elected in districts that Trump won in 2016. They're not going to win if you have a good candidate, and they're going to fight for this stuff. Oh, but there's tariffs and there's soybeans, and farmers can't sell soybeans to China, and China's and everybody in the Wall Street Journal, they wrote a nasty editorial about me because I didn't blast the tariffs because they can't sell soybeans, and it's going to be economic Armageddon, and the stock market is going to crash. You're all going to blame me. Stand up and fight, you bunch of cowards. You know, I'm so sick of these people. The National Republican Congressional Committee, the campaign arm for the House GOP candidates, is the subject of much agitation among conservatives who think Chairman Tom Emmer and his team need to step it up and quickly. They're never going to step it up. They don't stand for anything. And they're afraid of the president because they don't understand his policies. And they just want to go back to the Romney days where it was comfortable, where they could go to Wall Street and beg for money. That's their life. John Frederick's radio network, Truck of Truth Across America. This is the party of Trump. You either get on the train or you're going to get left in the station to perish. I don't really care. I could care less about you. I care about Trump's agenda because it is right for America. Get on board and stop sniveling.
Tonight, Riviera Beach, Florida is the latest city to pay hackers who took over its computer system.
To pay a ransom amount of approximately 65 bitcoins. Yes.
Its city council voted unanimously to pay a $600,000 ransom to retrieve its records. Some residents are furious there wasn't an adequate backup system.
I don't care if the insurance paid most of the money. You're still using taxpayers' money wrong.
This year, the inspector general here in Chicago warned this city is unprepared for a cyber attack. The big question, if cities are hacked, should they pay up or not? Last year, Atlanta refused to pay about $50,000 in Bitcoin. Baltimore also didn't pay a ransom of about $76,000, even though the attack cost the city more than $18 million. The price of not paying too high for smaller towns such as Leeds, Alabama, where the mayor decided to pay an $8,000 ransom.
We were devastated. We've got people depending on us to pay our bills.
Federal authorities are now investigating this latest cyber attack in Florida, hoping to stop more cities from being held for ransom. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Chicago.
Hey, NBC News fans, thanks for checking out our YouTube channel. Subscribe by clicking on that button down here and click on any of the videos over here to watch the latest interviews, show highlights, and digital exclusives. Thanks.
You say